That's not something that is sort of lost on me as a speaker and as a pastor. So again, I just want to thank you for joining us. I don't know if you guys realize this, but Americans are over-medicated. I found this infographic that compiled the research statistics of the various prescription medications that Americans use. Nearly 70% of Americans use some kind of prescription medication for whatever is going on with them. About 20% of patients have five or more prescription medications. 20% of patients. The main offenders are the antibiotics, psychiatric meds, stimulants, sleep aids, and painkillers. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the drug industry is big business. Big business. In 1980, the drug industry was about a $12 billion industry. By 2010, the drug industry became a $275.6 billion industry. It astronomically grew in those 30 years. If you were investing in pharmaceuticals, that was the place to be. Now, guess who's getting paid off our need to take a pill or take some kind of drink for just about everything that goes on in our lives? The pharmaceutical companies, also known as the drug manufacturers, and some doctors who actually get paid to prescribe us a little pill. I don't know if you realize this, but some doctors actually get paid, sort of like a legal kickback, to prescribe certain medications to their patients. Now, the problem is twofold. Well, see, on the one hand, you have the doctors who readily prescribe a medication or a prescription for a health issue that may or may not solve the health issue. But then you have us, the patients, who ask for these medications because of the ads that we've seen on TV. Now, speaking of these drug ads on TV, these medications on TV, have you ever really paid attention to the side effects of some of these medications, these prescriptions that these doctors prescribe us? Have you ever really paid attention to them? You see, the side effects can be anything from bleeding from strange places, which I'm not going to really talk about this morning, with dry mouth, insomnia, headaches, cramps, heavy feeling, and depression. Now, my family's all-time favorite drug side effect is strange dreams. When we heard that, we're like, what's up with that? What does that mean? What are strange dreams exactly? How do you quantify or qualify a strange dream? How do you know the difference between a strange dream and a regular dream? But what if you already have strange dreams? Does that mean now the side effect is going to be regular dreams? I still don't understand or get that drug side effect, strange dreams. I just don't get it. Then you have popular drugs like Viagra. One of my nurse friends who works in the urology department says that men ask her for Viagra prescriptions whether they need it or not. They just want Viagra. Have you ever paid attention to the side effects of Viagra? Let me read you the list of drug side effects for Viagra. Viagra side effects are ringing in the ears, sudden vision loss, chest pain or heavy feeling, pain spreading from or spreading to the arm or shoulder, nausea, sweating, general ill feeling, irregular heartbeat, swelling in your hands, ankles or feet, shortness of breath, feeling lightheaded, fainting, warmth or redness in your face, neck or chest, stuffy nose, headache, memory problems, upset stomach, and last but not least, back pain. Back pain. Viagra is a high-risk, high-reward drug. You want to talk about the law of diminishing returns. I often wonder, do the side effects, the risks outweigh the benefits? One of the most prescribed drugs in America is Nexium, the purple pill. Many of you may have heard that. Nexium is for acid reflux. Acid reflux is something that I have to deal with and suffer through every single day. Now, several years ago, my doctor prescribed me some medication for my acid reflux, but it wasn't Nexium. I don't remember the name of that drug that I was prescribed that day, but I do remember the side effects. See, when I was younger, the side effects really didn't impact me. I really didn't experience whatever side effects that the drug had. But for some reason, this drug really impacted me. And one of the side effects was insomnia. So once that drug really got into my system, I couldn't sleep for 2 days. I would try to go to sleep. I would sleep for maybe an hour or two, then wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd be up for the rest of the day. I quickly and immediately stopped taking that drug. I stopped taking that medication because of insomnia. So again, I wonder, do the side effects outweigh the benefits of these drugs? Think Viagra. Do the side effects, do the risks outweigh the benefits? Now, please don't think that I am anti-doctor or anti-prescription this morning, okay? I'm for anything that really helps us with our health issues or with our medical issues. So please don't leave here this morning and think to yourself, well, Andre said or Pastor said that we shouldn't talk to our doctors or we shouldn't ask our doctors for a prescription or we shouldn't take any kind of medications. If you leave here thinking that this morning, then you've completely missed my point. So I want to make sure I'm crystal clear this morning. My point is this. Go to the doctor. Get medical advice, okay? But at the same time, though, make sure God, your heavenly healer, your heavenly doctor, is your first option instead of your last option. Make sure your heavenly Father is your first option, not your last option. So today I want to look at how we can experience God as our doctor or as our healer. See, my goal for us this morning is for us to experience him as our doctor, as our healer this morning. That's what I want us to do. And we're going to do that by reading through today's teaching passage, and we're going to discover one of God's names, because one of the ways that we can experience our Heavenly Father is through his names, and he has tons of names. So we're going to experience him through one of his names this morning. Now, today's teaching passage is a story that's going to take place after Moses had decided that he was going to submit to God's authority and do what God wanted him to do. And that was to rescue his fellow Hebrew brothers and sisters from their enslaved situation. Now, we're going to read through this passage, then I'm going to come back and fill in some of the gaps. We're going to read through Exodus 15, 22 through 26. Again, that's Exodus 15, 22 through 26. And before we get into it, I just want to pause for a second and just invite the Holy Spirit and just pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And I thank you for that song that said, your kingdom is coming. Yes, your kingdom come, Father. And that song is so appropriate for what I feel like you've given me to say this morning. So may your kingdom come, Father. Holy Spirit, come. Come in power. Come in power. Whatever is going on inside of our minds, just mentally, spiritually, or even emotionally, Father, may all that just fall to the ground right now. And may we focus on the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us today. Bring healing, Father. Bring healing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." I am the Lord who heals you. So Moses, with the help of God, rescues his Hebrew brothers and sisters from slavery. So while they are making this trek to the promised land, Pharaoh realized that the Egyptian economy is about to suffer greatly.
that the Egyptian economy is about, they're about to just go into the tanks because they are losing and have lost their forced labor force. So Pharaoh decides that he's going to chase after the Israelites. So then Moses and the Israelites, doesn't that kind of sound like a 70s or 80s rock band, Moses and the Israelites? But anyways, Moses and the Israelites, they find themselves with the massive Egyptian army behind them and the massive Red Sea in front of them. Now, as many of you know, this is when Charlton Heston splits the Red Sea and the Israelites are able to walk across on dry ground. Now, if you're too young for that reference, this is when Christian Bale splits the Red Sea and then the Israelites are able to walk across on dry land, on dry ground. Now, it seems that their path to the promised land is going to take them through the desert. So that meant that they would walk through water, not find water, not be able to get water, and then they would eventually find water. But the water they found was bitter water. It was Mara. The realization of this bitter water caused the people to complain. So Moses does what a lot of God's leaders do when people complain to him. He complains to God. So then God shows Moses this stick. And this stick is supposed to heal the water. So once the water is healed, God reveals a character. He reveals a name. He reveals a way that we can experience him. God says this. He says, "For I am the Lord who heals you." The name for God in this story is Jehovah Rophe. Jehovah Rophe. Rophe means to heal, to restore, to cure, or a physician. The healing and the restoring or the curing is in a physical, moral, and spiritual sense. So Jehovah Rophe, if you notice, Jehovah Rophe then goes on to make a promise. He promises the people when he says, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands, and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So God is promising the Israelites, if they follow his laws, if they follow his decrees, if they follow his commands, then it is going to end well with them. It is going to go well with them. He says the same thing as us. If you follow my decrees, if you follow my laws, if you follow my commands, then it is going to go well with you. But then God says, "I am your doctor, I am your healer, I want to heal you spiritually, morally, and physically." Now, unfortunately, there's a little bit of a problem. It didn't take long for the people to forget that God had brought them through the waters of the Red Sea. It didn't take long at all. Shortly after they got brought through the Red Sea, they wrote a song, and they sung a song that referenced the things that God had done for them, that God had taken care of them. But now they're in a different situation, and they find themselves without water. Then they finally got to water, and the water was bad water. It was bitter water, so they couldn't drink. Now, many commentators of this story believe that this whole bitter water situation was really a test for the Israelites, that God was testing them. God wanted to know, how will these people react to hardship in their lives? How will they react to some kind of adversity in their lives? Well, we see that hardship, adversity, leads to a little bit of complaining, or not getting our way, or not getting the thing that we deserve, or when things don't go the way we ought to, way we think they ought to go, our sense of entitlement begins to kick in. Our sense of entitlement begins to kick in. That eventually leads us to complaining. You see, the people knew that the lack of water would lead to death. And Moses is the one who brought them out of Egypt. They were already under, heavy oppression. They were doing fine. At least they had water. But now they're out here. They don't have water. We might die. Moses, with the help of God, you're supposed to take care of us. We're entitled to water. We don't want to die. We wanted to stay there anyway. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm very familiar with complaining when things aren't going my way. In fact, complaining is one of the things that I'm very good at, especially when things aren't going the way I think they ought to go. A little bit of a confession. If complaining was a spiritual gift, then I think I have it. I definitely think I have that gift. If you don't believe me, ask Tina. She'll tell you. She'll confirm everything. I am really good at complaining. But let's talk about this bitter water for a second. Let's talk about that. You see, this bitter water can mean several things in our lives. It can be a family situation that has become bitter. It can mean a relationship that you have with someone else that's become bitter. It can be a class at school that has become bitter. It can be just about a whole slew of other kind of situations in your lives that have become bitter. For you, it may be a lack of something in your life that is the cause of your bitterness, or that has become bitter. It may be the lack of a job, the lack of a mate, or even the lack of sales in your business. But it can also mean the bitterness of many physical illnesses that we can experience in this life as human beings. You see, I've suffered with acid reflux for about, 17 years now. I started out with the doctors. So yes, God, Jehovah Rophe, wasn't my first option when it came to my acid reflux. So when I started experiencing the stomach pain, I had no idea what was going on with me. I had no idea what was going on with my body. So I started talking to the doctors, started going to the doctors. Well, eventually, I got diagnosed with acid reflux. So they put me on some medication. So I suffered with this disease for about 9 years before it occurred to me, hey, why not get some prayer? We're either in the vineyard. Why not just get some prayer for it? It never occurred to me before then. The crazy thing is because I run, or I used to run a lot, I developed some tendonitis in my knees. And I had actually gotten healing in my knees, going to other people to ask them to pray for me. So I experienced the healing before. So it's not like it was completely foreign concept to me. It's just that I had gotten so used to taking medicine for my acid reflux that it just never occurred to me that I could actually be healed of this by God. So when I finally turned to God as my doctor and I had some people pray for me, but the thing is that I haven't received a healing yet. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that, yes, one time I got prayer and God automatically healed my acid reflux. That's not my story. That's not my story. God hasn't healed me yet, and that's okay. You see, I haven't been healed of my acid reflux, but not being healed hasn't got me down. The fact that I haven't been healed has not gotten me down, because I realize that we live in a time that Jesus referred to as the kingdom of God has come and the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is experiencing the rule and reign of God in our lives and in our communities. Therefore, we can get healing for our illnesses, but the healing isn't guaranteed. The healing isn't guaranteed. You see, we live in a time that we in the vineyard call the now and not yet. That means that we can experience the future age of the kingdom of God, the future age of the rule and reign of God in our lives today. That we can experience parts of heaven today. That we can experience healing in our bodies today. We can experience moral healing in our minds today. That we can experience spiritual healings in our souls today. The now and not yet also means that the full kingdom of God hasn't come. The full kingdom of God hasn't come. The full rule and reign of God isn't completely here and won't be completely here until Jesus comes back. Therefore, as an association of vineyard churches, we choose to believe that we can do the same things that Jesus did because he said we could and that we would. Now, unfortunately, there are some followers of Jesus who don't believe that. That they don't believe that God, the healer, God, our heavenly doctor, still heals to this day. And that's okay. That's fine. They can choose to believe what they choose to believe. But I choose to believe what Jesus said. Instead, I choose to believe what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Luke 7:21. At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and he restored sight to many who were blind. Instead, I choose to believe what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? Luke 7:22. Go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Again, Jesus said in John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. These verses and others like it lay the foundation for what we believe in the vineyard, that we teach in the vineyard, that we try to live out every day in the vineyard. So here's my thing. I want us to be the kind of people who seek God, our heavenly healer, our heavenly doctor, as our first option, not our last option. So what does this mean? This means, yes, we go to the doctor. We go to the doctor, but just maybe we call someone from our church family and ask them to pray for us while we're on our way to the doctor. We seek medical advice, but we also seek the kingdom of God at the same time. So let's be a people who seek God, the healer, as our first option instead of our last option. So let's actually do that right now. Let's spend the rest of our time together praying for each other. Let's ask our Heavenly Father, our doctor, our healer, to come into this space and heal us. Let's ask for healing spiritually, physically, and morally. Let's ask for it right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray to sort of get us ready. And then when I say amen, find someone and ask them to pray for you. Ask someone, can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? Let's do what Jesus did right now. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you are our healer, that we can call you our heavenly healer, we can call you our heavenly Father, and that we can call you our heavenly doctor. All of those names mean that you care about us, that you care about our physical condition, you care about our moral and mental condition, and you care about our spiritual condition. So, Father, as we have gathered in this place, would your Holy Spirit come with more power, bring healing in all three areas of our lives, Father. I pray, Father, that this is a time that no one here will ever forget, that this is one of those Old Testament altar moments, that we can set up an altar and say, remember that time when we met God and he did such an amazing work in us, because he is our healer. He is our doctor. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do best, which is bring wholeness to our minds, wholeness to our bodies, and wholeness to our spirits. Jesus' name. Amen. So grab someone. Let's pray for each other.